You're listening to episode 15 of the Mad Chatters podcast, January 7th, 2015.
Most everyone's mad here.
This is the Mad Chatters Podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney Universe. My name is Derek, and since I have to introduce myself, I don't get a cool catchphrase, but let me introduce you to my fellow co-hosts and podcasters and very dear friends, Matthew.
Hey there, I'm first again.
That's your catchphrase then?
Yeah.
Good choice. And Jeremy.
I'm working on my roar.
What is that? Oh, Lion King?
Oh, Lion King.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why don't we introduce you?
Okay.
This is our Grand Master of Ceremonies, Derek.
Hey.
I kind of like for your catchphrase to be, I don't have a catchphrase.
Oh. Yeah. What's up? That's current, right?
Yeah, yeah, like 1996.
Mm-hmm. It's 20 years. It's not bad. Speaking of, Happy New Year.
Happy 2015. New Year.
What are your resolutions?
I don't want to say for the record, just in case I fail.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I've ever made resolutions.
Yeah?
No.
Well, I'll give you a little hint. If I succeed, I may be joining a didgeridoo band. I'm just throwing that out
Wow.
there.
Wow. That's a pretty grand resolution from what I know about you.
Dream big.
That's right. That's right.
Did you all do big stuff for New Year's Eve?
Typical.
Not really.
Games. Stayed up.
Yeah.
Did not watch the ball drop.
Our church does an activity, and then we had a little after party, so that was fun. I watched.
After midnight?
Yeah. We go hard, go late. I didn't go to the bed till 4 a.m. I'm still feeling the effects. Yeah, I'm too old for that.
You were Anyways, well into 2015 by the time you went to bed.
I did monitor social media, however, and saw all the outrageous crowd levels at Walt Disney World throughout Christmas and New Year's.
You know,
and I know you were there.
I was up there, but I just went to Downtown Disney because I had seen some of the same stuff. And I even left like at 11:45 just to avoid madness getting out of there.
That was probably a good call.
It always amazes me, people that go during that time. And here's usually what I find. You usually have people that are just very ignorant of it, of the whole idea that that is a very crowded time of the year. They just, for whatever reason, think nobody's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're shocked and they hate Disney for the rest of their life.
Oh,
because
yes.
They're like, the lines are terrible. Well, yeah, they are when you go that time of year. Or then on the other side of the coin, you have people that really just like that time of the year and they don't mind the crowds and they make the best of it. I have a friend that he invited me to Easter weekend a couple years ago when he and his family were going to be there. And I was like, no way am I going.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, no, we have a good time. And yeah, you got to wait 4 hours for Space Mountain, but it's no big deal. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, see, those were the tweets I was seeing. The same accounts who usually tweet pictures of the sunrise and say beautiful day in Magic Kingdom were saying 4 hour wait for Soarin', 240 minute wait for Space Mountain. And then it would be like, parking lot closed due to capacity. It's now open again.
That happened on the day I was at the Magic Kingdom, and I'd already parked. Thank goodness.
Ugh.
I would have just said, never mind.
Yeah.
I've even seen things for like a 2 hour line for like Columbia Harbor House. I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, if you got to wait 2 hours just to get some counter service, you need to go home and plan your vacations better.
Pack a sandwich next time.
Or come in February. It's a lot less crowded.
There you go. Well, since it is 2015, and since this is our very special 15th episode on today's episode, I know, what a milestone. We are going to be discussing 15 things we're looking forward to in 2015, specifically at Disney World, obviously, since we are a Disney World podcast. We're not going to be just throwing out
my birthday.
The new Congress.
Wow, we are looking forward to very different things. I can tell you that right now. But to start out this episode, we're going to be doing a little eating around the world. Now, Matt, I didn't tell you this when you suggested Crystal Palace for a topic, but do you know what the traditional gift is for a 15th anniversary?
Is it crystal?
It is crystal. Is that not crazy? I didn't know that till today, but there you go. So,
I remember watching Pee Wee Herman as a child, and they always had the word of the day. And when everybody said it, it was like, "Ah!" I think 15 should be our word of the show.
Oh boy!
So just
every
watch.
Time we say the word 15, I'll drink a shot of coffee.
I was just about to say a drinking game. Yeah, that's gonna it's gonna be
espresso.
A lot of coffee. All right, well, Matt, why don't you talk a little bit about Crystal Palace since you were the one who most recently went.
Yeah, my most recent trip to the Crystal Palace was in August with our vacation with our friends, Jamie and Heidi, and their two little ones. And we made the reservation specifically for the little ones because it's a character dining experience there at the Magic Kingdom. As you approach the end of Main Street going toward the castle, if you turn left, just before you get to Adventureland, there's a big, grand
palace.
Crystal Palace, yes. named so just because of the glass roof, and it's got this kind of turn-of-the-century exposition hall, steel, glass structure, greenhouse-looking thing to it. So that's where that comes from. And it's a character buffet for all three meals, correct? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
As far as I know, yeah.
So we went because of the interest in the Pooh characters, and they were all there. Winnie the Pooh, Tigger, Eeyore, and Piglet. Okay, you get the four of them. And the dinner buffet, I have to say, coming out of the gate was completely underwhelming. Mm. The price is going to be the same that you pay for the character buffet at Chef Mickey and what you would pay for your meals if you got the skillet at Whispering Canyon and, of course, the dinner at Ohana. Those are all the same prices. So just keep that in mind.
Which is not inexpensive.
No, it's $36 to $41
right.
You know, seasonally. So it's pricey, and that's to be expected with a character meal of any kind, especially a buffet at Disney World. But I'm just putting that in perspective just to as we move forward talking about the dinner. It's brightly lit, it's loud, as is to be expected from a character buffet in the Magic Kingdom. Very crowded feeling. The tables are like park tables with little kind of flimsy chairs. It's just kind of a cheap feeling place for dinner. Let's say it that way, because we're going to come around and talk about breakfast later, which is a completely different story. The buffet for dinner, I mean, I like buffets if they're good. This was not a good buffet. no, it just wasn't. Everything on the buffet, first of all, it was pretty short. Not a lot of selection. Everything was just kind of bland, flavorless, mashed potatoes, some kind of vegetables, and you had like some corn muffins and different kinds of bread with your salad. You know, all that was just okay. It wasn't bad, it was just okay.
Sure.
One of the things on the bar that was just like vomit in my mouth was the, oh good grief, it was salmon. It was salmon that was like coated in like a basil, good grief, why is the word leaving me? Pesto. Like a green pesto sauce, which is usually delicious.
Yeah, but in a buffet and those warmers.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The salmon was just, you know, it had obviously been sitting there. It was just overcooked, dry, and to have basil pesto on it, which is supposed to be like herbaceous and garlic and all this stuff, it was just just bland. Like, it didn't taste like anything. I actually got all that on my plate and sat down before I realized they even had like a meat carving station. And so I was ready to like demand a refund at that time and leave until I found the meat carving station. They had like prime rib, kind of like roast beef, and I think pork or chicken, one of the two, and they were carving it there for you on the cutting table. That was okay. Bumped it up about two notches. The desserts were what you would expect from your lucky number one Chinese buffet down the road.
Mm.
Just like
Jell-O.
Well, yeah, Jell-O was on there. You have a soft
like
serve machine.
And little squares of cheesecake.
And you would be, maybe you wouldn't be surprised. I am surprised at how many people go completely insane over a soft serve machine at a buffet.
Guilty.
I do not like, I like ice cream okay, but soft serve just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make me just go gaga at a buffet. You should hear the comments and people, I can't believe this is on the buffet, and they even got swirl and they got sprinkles.
Mom, that guy that liked that guy, the Golden Corral.
Yeah. Only $40 more. Yeah. That's impossible with $36. $30 more. So the food was terrible. I mean, just bad for what you're paying and going in for dinner. Not good. Character experience was okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was good, of course, if you've got children or you're an adult that likes character experiences. And Jeremy, then those things are good. Pooh comes by the table. Piglet comes by the table. Eeyore. And they all spend a good amount of time if it's not too crazy. They were good with the little ones. You know, got them out from their place and shook their hands and hugged on them. And they took pictures. And thank you for that. And then signed autographs and things. So that was good. Overall, though, the service was okay. It wasn't a horrible service event like the Garden Grill. So,
well,
overall,
good.
Dinner gets, like, I don't know, 4 out of 10 stars. Ooh. That means it was okay if you can't eat anywhere else and you really want a character meal for dinner. But I would readily talk you out of it if you were talking about making a dinner reservation there. In fact, I just did that with somebody, and I told him you'll thank me for it if you knew.
Yeah.
But, of course, he didn't.
Well,
but now,
let me give you just a little bit of an update, Matt, on your Disney history. And just call me Jeremy Corcus because I have some added facts for you.
You
the
mean
Crystal
made up,
Palace. Like? No, this is the truth. The Crystal Palace is not just some turn of the century building, but the Crystal Palace is actually based upon an actual Crystal Palace in England. It was located in London in Hyde Park and built in the 1800s, early 1800s, Victorian style. And it actually housed the Great Exhibition of 1851, which was a large kind of World's Fair type-ish thing. But the highlight was this was the first time that they actually had indoor plumbing on a mass scale. And so a lot of people came just to drop a deuce in the toilet. However, the Crystal Palace burnt down in the 1930s. So the building no longer stands there. But that's where they get the name and the architecture.
Oh, I'm sorry. I fell asleep there for a second.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Here comes the sign. I was under the impression that this was eating around the world, not like history lessons around the world.
The only reason I knew that is because when you Google Crystal Palace, all that stuff comes up first. And I'm like, okay. Wait, where's Winnie the Pooh? What's going on?
Even though the Crystal Palace is no longer there, they still have a football club that is named the Crystal Palace Football Club there in South London.
Well, there you go.
So is this building, is it reminiscent of the architectural style? Is it the same kind of thing?
Yeah, obviously it's a lot bigger here. I'll show you a picture here from the Wikipedia. But you can see it's kind of that glass feel.
Oh, I
see. A lot of
glass,
a lot of
atrium.
Cast iron. Yeah, that kind of same feel. That Victorian.
If you recall, what it reminds me of is on the part of the American Adventure when I think it's like the four podiums come up at the one of the World's Fairs. You got Susan B. Anthony and Mark Twain.
1876 Philadelphia.
Yes. The centennial. Yeah, and they have the guy, he makes the remark about it being made with Carnegie steel. It's got that look to it.
Yeah, well, back to the food. Jeremy and I have been for lunch, and I can't imagine it's that different from dinner, really. But I remember it. Well,
maybe like $10 cheaper.
That is true. And this is ironic to say, but I remember it being very forgettable, as in, like, I really don't remember it. I just remember being kind of underwhelmed, I guess.
I remember nothing about the food, which is not a rare thing for me, because I really am not a foodie like you two. So.
But I do remember food, and that meal, I just kind of remember being like, eh.
I'm sure it's the same. Typically, I think for lunch buffets, they won't include a carving table, but they probably substituted other things on them.
I think there was a carving table.
I would say there was a carving table.
Yeah, I think there was.
Well.
Maybe
just know that's the case at Chef Mickey.
Things like Crystal Palace, things like Cinderella's Royal Table, people don't go there for the food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go there to eat, yes, but you're paying for the experience. Now, that's not the case at Chef Mickey's.
Now, look, that is no excuse.
No, you're right. I totally agree. That is not an excuse for bad food. But it's the truth, nonetheless.
Because if I go to Chef Mickey, I know I'm not going here for the food. But even though the food there is probably a solid 6 or 7 out of 10, just like variety, flavor, that kind of thing. Crystal Palace is just completely just rough.
Our experiences we had, two things stick out to me. One, I remember that the Winnie the Pooh characters go around, like you mentioned, table to table, and we were there for a late lunch, if I remember right, because the parade was happening while we were eating, so 3 o'clock-ish. And all of a sudden, the Pooh characters all kind of disappeared, and we were kind of like, hey, where'd they go? And our waiter was like, they'll be back. They have to go be in the parade.
That's right.
And so they timed it just perfectly that Winnie the Pooh and his friends left. And we looked out the window, and there was Winnie the Pooh and his friends in the parade, and they went by.
Oh, I see.
And as soon as they were gone, they were back again. So.
Like, hey, we're back. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Shield your ears, kids. It was a different Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
No, they're that's not
a smoke
true.
Break.
Like, thank goodness for that parade. Because yes. That's the sound you make when you smoke.
Yeah, everybody just coughs when they smoke. Now, we have all been here together, actually, for breakfast.
Yes.
And I want to say before we even begin discussing it that breakfast at the Crystal Palace is one of my top breakfast experiences at Walt Disney World. So it's a completely different story for breakfast. You've got the Magic Kingdom. If you're there earlier in the morning, you're able to go in before the park opens if your reservation is then. It's just a nice, you know, crisp morning feel. And I think the location with the glass ceiling and things suits itself better to the morning.
With the sunlight daytime. Streaming in.
Yeah, it's got a bright, airy, clean feel to it. And we can talk about the food. The food's also about 100 times better.
I completely agree. I loved a breakfast. And we got a late breakfast. I want to say it was like 10 or 10:30. But I do wish we had taken advantage of the early option they have, because you can actually book the restaurant before the park even opens and kind of have Main Street to yourself and take pictures or whatever you want, which I would love to do sometime.
I don't remember like any specifics about breakfast. I'm just going to, you know, eggs, bacon, sausage,
Mickey waffles.
Mickey waffles.
I ate a lot.
I mean, yeah, and I'm sure the pricing for breakfast is, you know, $21 to $26, somewhere around there for the breakfast buffet. But between that and Chef Mickey for breakfast, I think that Crystal Palace almost wins this one. Just for the location, that time of the morning has just got that magical Magic Kingdom Main Street feel to it.
I agree. You get a view of the castle. You got characters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
It's a great way to start your day.
And I will say the two times I've been there, I think this is maybe the story you were going to tell earlier, Jeremy, but we've had great service. I actually kind of remember our waitress from breakfast being very hospitable to us. But during lunch, we actually sat – they have a whole wall of mirrors, and behind that is like where the kitchen is and where the staff goes back to get your food and everything. And we sat at one of those tables, and I think we told you this story, Matt, but we were kind of joking that – some of us needed refills, and Jeremy was like, what if that row of mirrors was like a two-way mirror where they could see where we needed something? And it wasn't something like that. And
something
you were
like that, yeah.
And we could just be like, I need a refill. And just at that moment, our waiter came around the corner with a glass of whatever Jeremy was drinking. And we were all like,
he was like, somebody need a refill? I was like, whoa.
No, for real. Did you hear us say that?
They're watching.
Yeah, it was cool. But great service, maybe not the best food in the world. I do agree with that. But breakfast, great experience.
Now, how do you feel about the Winnie the Pooh characters meeting here? Or do you think other characters would be more appropriate?
I like it.
I can't think of any more appropriate characters.
Well, that is true. However, I kind of have a hang up about them meeting here, and they also then have their character spot by the attraction in the same park.
Oh. Okay.
So I'm of the opinion that...
I've never seen them over there.
Yeah, Pooh and Tigger meet
Pooh
there.
Pooh and Tigger.
Yeah, usually. But you
so if you recommend Mary Poppins, so help me God.
Well, she would definitely fit. I mean, at least the turn of the century feel. Not really.
Who wants to meet her? Do people want to meet her?
Derek and I met her and Bert when we were in Disneyland.
That's right.
Maybe I haven't learned my face character lesson from you yet. I just
there
they
you
don't.
Go. You need to learn.
Go to madchatters.net and you'll learn that lesson.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, she already meets over at 1600 Park Fair. In the mornings.
Oh, that
yeah, I was going to say, you got that Ari over there.
Well, you know, I'm not discriminating against Pooh. I'm just, more characters the better, in my opinion, so.
I don't even care if it's a character meal. That didn't make the breakfast experience for me. It would have been just as good, just as high on my list for breakfast with or without the characters.
Yeah. Okay. Or at least bring out some of the rarer Pooh characters. Bring out Rabbit. Bring out Kanga.
Oh, my goodness. Now, if that happened,
yeah,
I would wet myself.
Oh, my.
If they had Owl. If I ever met Owl.
Oh, yeah.
And Gopher. That would be fun.
He's not in the boat.
And that's all he can say is just walk around yelling, "I'm not in the book."
Not in the book.
Yeah.
Some I mean, still, you know, still keep Pooh and Tigger because they're always going to be popular. But instead of Piglet and Eeyore, let them meet at the attraction and keep bring out Rabbit and Owl. That'd be
fun.
I
like that. Yeah, I do like keeping the Pooh characters because there is a British tie in there with the Crystal Palace and A.A. Milne and all that. But okay, Matt, you gave it a 4 for dinner. What would you give it for breakfast?
For breakfast, I would give it a 9 out of 10, and only because I don't like giving 10s out of 10s.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good meal. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things. This is where your thing comes into play, Jeremy, in that the breakfast was not about – the food was good. It wasn't about the food. It was about the atmosphere and the place and the time and just the overall feeling at breakfast versus that just crowded – you know, I don't know. It was just a completely different experience at the nighttime. So the food and the characters almost neither here nor there for the breakfast.
Yeah, no, I get that. Because if you're there during park hours, a lot of strollers get parked, like, right out front. Yeah. And if you're sitting by those windows, it's like, well, thank you. I have the castle, but I also have Stroller Alley here.
Well, there you go. That is Crystal Palace.
It's time for another Mad Chatter game! And I am the Game Master, Mad Chatter Jeremy. And today we have a special surprise game, Matt, because today's game only involves you!
Aww.
That's right, Matt. It's time to play the Mad Chatter Newlywed game!
Woo! I'm excited because this means I can't lose.
Without you knowing it, Matt, I contacted your wife of 5 years, Jessica, and I asked her questions about her preferences at Walt Disney World. And so I'm going to ask you the same questions, and we're going to see how well you know your beautiful love of your life or not,
Jessica.
Far as her Disney
World. Oh, I was about to say that, too. Her name is Jessica.
I was trying to figure out how to formulate that sentence without sounding too creepy. So... Anywho, so you're trying to match her answer. Are you ready?
Yeah, I can do this.
Okay, great. We'll start off kind of easy, and we'll move to a little more difficult questions. Okay. All right? Number one. What is Jessica's favorite restaurant at Walt Disney World?
That's a difficult one, but I know which one she's going to answer, and that's Narcoossee's.
Jessica said Narcoossee's, correct.
Where are the audio clips of her answers?
Oh, that's true.
Let's roll the tape.
That's easy. That's where we ate the night we were engaged. And so that always holds a special place.
I mean, plus it's Narcoossee's. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, that's tender. Number two.
Like a piece of meat.
What is Jessica's favorite animated Disney film?
I'm surprised that she even had an answer to this, to be honest with you.
Please don't be Pocahontas. Please don't be Pocahontas.
No, it's not.
That may be grounds for divorce.
I'm gonna say based on her childhood favorite character, it's going to be the Little Mermaid.
Jessica said Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, she lies.
Very close.
She just made that one up. She doesn't really like any of them.
Well, I don't have her here for a rebuttal, so I'll move on.
She was humoring you, Jeremy.
Jessica, you're wrong.
The next question, you're one for one. I mean, one.
You do not like that movie.
You do not.
She'll hear about this when I get home.
Yeah.
The next one. What is Jessica's favorite pavilion in the World Showcase.
I know.
This could be based on...
That would be a fun game. Does Derek know your wife better than you?
Yeah. This it could be based on many different things.
The color on the asphalt.
No, I'm thinking
costumes of the cast members.
It could be based on her. Let's just say I'm just going to say Norway.
That was going to be my guess.
Jessica said Norway. Correct. Yeah,
she does love
because
that bakery.
Of school bread. She put yeah. because yeah. of school bread. Okay, the next
Well,
question.
We also she also had a near inappropriate experience with a cheesecake egg roll at China one time. That was yeah, she enjoyed that. She just enjoyed it very much.
I see. Was it like a When Harry Met Sally moment?
Yes, it was in the middle of Nine Dragons. So I almost said
cheesecake egg roll was some kind of derogatory slang. I
know, right? No, it was a banana cheesecake egg roll. It was basically just like a fried banana something or another, but it was delicious.
Fried cheesecake.
Next question: what is an attraction or show that Jessica hates or refuses to do?
Oh my!
Something in the parks that she hates and or refuses to do.
You're saying a ride or attraction or show, just anything.
Yeah, something in the park.
Well, I can't think. The only thing I can think that she just absolutely hates, almost refuses to go on, is Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin.
Jessica said Buzz Lightyear Space
yes.
Ranger Spin.
Wow.
My
what
picture.
Does she have against it?
I hate that ride.
I do.
She's
I mean, it's
get
not
mad
my favorite, but I can understand.
No, I enjoy
that.
It. It's one of those things I hate to love and love to hate because I like the music. I kind of like its
I do
kitschy,
like the
goofy
music.
Feel, but
hate was a strong word. I will take that.
It's kind of shoddily put together. It feels like a little carnival ride. All that aside, my Skype picture with me, you know, looking real happy.
Yes.
If you could see the other half of it, it's Jessica. Just like not amused whatsoever. She can't. She doesn't like the pushing the button over and over again. I mean, every last time we ever ride that thing, like every single time, within 10 seconds of the guns being turned on, she is ticked off. She can't see the. I can't see the red dot. She's putting her hand in front of it and trying to locate the dot. I can't do this. And
I'm with her.
It's really a meltdown every time.
I'm with her. I do not get those games. I don't know why I'm so bad at them. I'm like, I'm shooting the target. Why is it not doing anything?
Ah. And she has to be the one spinning because she says that I spin when she's trying to shoot something.
Yeah.
Can we put that picture on MadChatters.net?
Yeah, I'll get it to you. I'll get it to you because I look like I'm, you know, I was posing for the picture, but I have a good time on it. And she's just like, get me out of here. Kill me now. Oh, that's good, though. I'm glad I answered that one correctly.
Good job.
Next question. Who is Jessica's favorite Disney villain?
This is just one of those things that she doesn't have, so it's hard for me to notate.
What do y'all talk about?
Life, our baby.
You're the weirdest married couple I've ever met.
I mean,
her
I'm favorite people, I know the
Disney
store clerk at Walmart's.
Villain.
Favorite villain before I leave the register.
Well, aren't you just evangelistic?
You joke, Jeremy, but I totally believe you.
You're trying to find the common ground.
That's right.
Consequently. I'm gonna say Scar.
Jessica said Ursula.
I was thinking Ursula.
Now see, from her favorite Disney animated movie.
Well,
she doesn't know.
Even if you don't like Little Mermaid as your favorite movie, Ursula really is the best villain because she is.
To my credit, those two are the two questions I've gotten wrong are just two things that she just doesn't have. She's just making up answers for you. But that's okay. I'll take my hits.
Ursula is perfect because she's the perfect amount of like a comical, fun villain.
Yeah.
But still,
I get
you. Very evil.
You don't have to sell me on Ursula.
Yeah, no, I love her. Just anytime I can talk about her, I do. All right, last question. What is Jessica's favorite land in the Magic Kingdom?
Ooh. In the Magic Kingdom.
Yes. The kingdom filled with endless dreams for every girl and boy. The wondrous land of make-believe that fills our heart with joy. The castle leads the entranceway to seven lands and more.
Not anymore.
Step inside our storybook. Imagine what's in store.
We're going to be the next Dapper Dans, I feel it.
I still say seven lands, because Storybook Circus deserves to be a land.
We talked
about Mickey's
this.
Toontown Fair deserved it, then that deserves it.
Quit stalling and answer the question.
Favorite land. It's just, this is just something she doesn't have. So again, arbitrarily going to guess, I'm going to say Frontierland.
Jessica said Mickey's Birthday Land.
Please.
What?
That's not true. She said... Jessica said Adventureland is her favorite.
Oh, I went with my third guess. You believe that? I should have gone with my heart. Yeah. Adventureland.
You've rubbed off on her.
Yeah, well, she likes Space Mountain like the best at Magic Kingdom, so I was thinking Tomorrowland, but she hates everything else there, so...
Yeah.
Oh, well. I don't know my wife.
What was the score? I wasn't keeping...
I think
I had one job, and I didn't do it.
It's like 3-3.
You missed three, I believe. Okay. So, yeah, you're about 50%. But you've only been married 5 years. We'll do it again in another five, and you'll get a little better.
Mm-hmm. We have time to grow when there's actually answers to the questions.
That's right. Now you know some points of discussion that you need to have and some important knowledge that you need to know.
I mean, really, this was like a wedding marriage counseling session, if you
That's
think
what
about
we really
it.
Need. We need to come together on our Disney knowledge.
Hmm. Absolutely.
But good game, Jer. Good game.
Thank you. And that completes another Mad Chatter game. Join us next time. Same podcast, same fun announcer.
Since it is our 15th episode, excuse me, our very special 15th episode, and since it is our first episode in 2015, we are going to be listing 15 things we're looking forward to in 2015 at Walt Disney World. Now listen, we are not a news podcast, nor do we pretend to be, but we do keep up with the news at Disney World through various blogs and Twitter people and all that kind of stuff.
They're called tweeters.
Twits. Okay, we'll try that one. But since we do kind of keep up with it, we thought we'd make sure all of our listeners are informed of what's going on at the parks, and we're going to list some of those things that we're excited about right now, starting with number 15. Actually, I shouldn't say number 15 because these are in no particular order whatsoever, but the first one I'm going to mention is some sort of pending announcement for Hollywood Studios. Now, this is something Disney has not for sure said it's going to happen, but they have been closing things left and right. And there's really nothing left to close anymore except maybe Lights, Motors, Action. Yes, please, Disney,
please
listen. But we just feel
like... Oh, Disney World gods and muses, listen to
just,
us.
Just close one more thing, please.
I'm going to go get my Oprah vision board that you put all the things that you want to will to happen. And I'm going to put Lights, Motors, Action burning down right there in the center.
Yes, yes.
Because it's going to happen.
I don't know what any of that means.
So one thing we're looking forward to, surely in the next 360-some days, they're going to make some sort of announcement of what's coming to Hollywood Studios, and I personally cannot wait for that announcement.
Well, they have to be because quick. The park is going to die unless they put some life. Like I have some friends that we were talking about. They have another day on their Disney ticket, and it expires by March, and they're like, well, we've never been to Hollywood Studios, but we don't really want to go right now because there's really nothing there.
Well,
and I
now
was
look,
like, truth.
Let's be honest. Everything that has closed did not exactly garner a mass amount of traffic.
But it was something to do. It was something to do if you're going to be in the park.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was at the park and I had nothing to do and
people think
Jack
of three,
was five
maybe
minutes,
four things there.
Or I would do Backlot Tour.
Here's a tour of aisle 7 where you'll find our dressers and nightstands.
Listen, as long as it's not with that woman who did all their Christmas commercials, their singing commercials, I could not stand. I had to turn the TV off when she came on. Whoever you are.
Yeah.
Big Lots, yeah.
Anywho, you know, if the Backlot Tour was under 15 minutes, you know, you do Backlot Tour. It burns some time. But now you just walk around. Literally, all you have to do is Muppets, Lights, Motors, Action, Indy, Star Tours, and Tower Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster. And if you have children, you can't do Rock and Roll, the Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower Terror. So, you know, not a lot to do at Hollywood Studios these days. We need some big announcements to get some adrenaline pumping for that park.
We've talked about all of this before, but the park itself just needs it needs identity. It needs
purpose.
Purpose. It needs vision. It needs an Oprah vision, whatever you just said.
Ooh,
sounds heretical.
Yes.
It needs that.
The Imagineers are working on that board right now, I can promise
right.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Her bust is over there. I bet they demolish her bust when her head.
Her head when, bust. Ah.
Her head bust when they go over there. They're going to demolish your beloved Gertie, too, I guarantee it.
No, Gertie is like the only thing in that park that deservedly needs to stay, and I hope it does, but it may.
It's gone. It's gone.
If they would just maybe move it over to, like, the animation.
I think they're going to put it where the hat is going. Ooh. Or the hat's leaving, and they're just going to put it right there at
Gertie
the end of the
screen. Gertie icon. That
exactly.
would be fun.
Exactly.
That would not make any sense.
Gertie wearing a hat would be even better.
Yes. Yep.
Anywho, well, Hollywood Studios, we are waiting with bated breath, so give us
your
some.
Your Star Wars expansion, Pixar expansion, slash...
Slash anything expansion. It doesn't
Indiana
matter.
Jones ride. Oh, my goodness.
I'll take it all. Listen, the day that happens...
Hey, I speak that in faith. We are three people here, and we're in agreement. Indiana Jones attraction.
Yes,
I'll
and I'm,
put,
I'm putting it on the vision board. Listen, if
wait, you actually own one?
No. I mean, maybe. No.
It makes so much fun of you.
If you're not on Twitter or you're not on any social media, get on it just because you are going to want to be involved when they start announcing stuff on, you know, when Disney starts announcing. You're going to want to be on Twitter because it is going to explode.
I feel like it's we're selling something
amazing.
At this point. You're going to want this in your home.
You go to www.twitter.com
but
for
wait,
the low, low price of nothing.
Set it and
set it. Forget it.
All right,
you're
going to
want one of these in your home in 2015.
That's right. All right, Matt, lead us into number 14. Or number the second one.
Or number the second. I think that the Disney community and... Me in particular, and I think maybe one of you more than me, is looking forward to the new Starbucks locations that will be opening. We already know that there's a Starbucks location at the Magic Kingdom at the former Main Street Bakery. Well, I guess it's still got the Main Street Bakery sign. It's just been rethemed and repurposed into an actual Starbucks location. And the Fountain View Ice Cream Parlor, whatever, place at Epcot right there near the Fountain of Nations. Both of which... came onto the Disney scene with a bit of controversy, as I recall.
Nah.
But I think people are pretty pleased with the way, especially the Main Street Bakery one, has turned out. I think that, by and large, Americans love their Starbucks, and so when they go to Disney World and there's a Starbucks, I think they're happy about it.
The biggest controversy, I think, was people were afraid that it was going to change the aesthetics of Main Street. That it was
going
to be like
which Disney's
modern,
not going to let happen.
Yeah, and it was not this modern Starbucks building all of a sudden plopped
no.
down right
they
there.
They even
so.
Changed the logo to kind of have like a retro vintage Starbucks logo. I was very happy about it. And people that I have been with that love Starbucks are all about there being a Starbucks in Walt Disney World. So that's a good thing. The new location at Hollywood Studios is going to go where the former L.A. Prop Cinema Storage store was.
Everyone's and favorite it, store at Hollywood
yes.
Studios.
On our first visit, I remember that Jeremy picked up a basketball there as it sat outside, and he was going to be cool and sing What Time Is It Summertime from High School Musical. And he
which
got
is
about,
what all the cool kids do.
Right. He got about two words out and tried to do the basketball something on his arm, but it ended up busting him in the face, and that was pretty funny.
Jeremy's good at sports.
I'm like, what time is it? Out!
Well, listen, if you go
anyway.
To a Disney park with Derek, you will end up drinking lots of Starbucks coffee. So I know he's very happy about it. When
oh
we
gosh.
Were in Disneyland in San Francisco this past fall, I think I drank more Starbucks in that week than I have in my whole life.
Oh, yeah. We went there at least once a day. And sometimes at night, it would be like, I think I could use another coffee. Yeah. But it was always iced because it was like 95 degrees every day.
Yeah, and it's just nice to get that little boost throughout the day. You need a little
I like
kick.
Starbucks every once in a while. Don't you? This isn't a discussion about Starbucks, so I won't say that. Rip off. Hey, when do you guys like the location?
I do.
That this has been selected for?
I do, especially when they said what it's going to be turned into, which is the Red Car Trolley Cafe.
Yeah.
Which to me screams, well, there's already that red car. Isn't there a red car trolley? Yeah, yeah, right by Rock and Roller Coaster that they sells a little merchandise there. It's just like a non-moving stand.
There's also, and I didn't notice this until all this buzz started happening about, you know, potential name change, theme park, you know, change, all this stuff. And the talk kind of swirled up about Buena Vista Street at California Adventure.
That's what I was going to say.
As you enter the park, if you look to the left, just to kind of get your bearings, where the firehouse would be in the Magic Kingdom, over there, like kind of in the corner of that little square area as you enter, if you look up, there's a billboard that sits up on top of some of the facade buildings, and it's an advertisement for the Red Car Trolley.
Ah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Tie it all together.
I don't know how new that is, but I'm sure it's been there. But.
Yeah, but to me, that says that the people working on this park right now are trying to bring it back to that early Hollywood feel with the red trolley. And so that's what I'm excited about. Even if it's just a Starbucks, I'm still really excited about what it's going to bring to the park.
Absolutely. A suitcase and a dream.
And Animal Kingdom, the one that's going to be there at where Creature Comforts used to be. So. Mm-hmm.
Which is right there in the oasis by the Tree of Life. They all seem to be kind of right there in the park entrance areas.
Yeah. Right when I asked you guys that question, I thought that. I was like, that's where they all are. It's like the hubs of the parks because I was actually thinking like Commissary, ABC Commissary, that awful, awful restaurant could be that. But you're right. It's kind of there magically on your right as you enter the park in the morning.
Yeah.
So that's always...
You need your coffee, is in the morning.
You get the aroma of coffee on your way to stand in line for Toy Story for 5 hours.
They can still turn ABC Commissary, though, into a Starbucks as well.
Just have
to turn it. They need to just do something to it. I don't care if it turns into a Frozen ride. I don't want the commissary anymore.
I still walk in there every now and then when I'm in the park just to see like the movie memorabilia that they display and the television stuff. But other than that, you just keep on walking.
Yep.
It's kind of like Electric Umbrella. If you're eating at ABC Commissary, you're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. I can't even think the last time I ate there. Death.
Well, and the thing I like about it is, well, not like about it, the thing that makes me laugh about it is they still have menu items that's like 1980s shows. Like, I don't know, you know, like Bold and the Beautiful, Jumbo Shrimp. You know, like, it's not even like... It's not even, like, cleverly named.
Last time I went in there, they just had, like... They've always just had, like, chicken tenders, which are just okay.
But they had, like, television names, so it's, like, Modern Family Chicken Fingers, which doesn't make sense at all.
They just, I only ever had, like, a Cuban sandwich, like the Mario Lopez Cuban sandwich.
By the way, he's not Cuban, but he did play a Cuban on Golden Girls.
Anyways. Right. One of his first television appearances ever. Yeah.
Not long before, but before he was A.C. Slater.
So, yeah, Starbucks.
I really would like this store to be themed. I can envision that kind of 20s, 30s coffee, not necessarily just a coffee shop, but like a almost like your pharmacy, diner, breakfasty kind of place. That would be really cool with that kind of the costumes they wear and the kind of setup, just like they've turned the Main Street on. The Main Street Bakery into that kind of feel.
I love that.
Yeah, you want some coffee, eh? Well, you hear the news? The stock market is down, eh? Is that how they're going to talk?
Well, are you moving your shoulders was really distracting me, but yes, that was good.
So much movement.
There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that the listeners just don't get to experience. I'm sorry.
So sad. One day we'll release all the footage.
That's right. The number 13 item that we are very excited about for 2015 is new merchandise is coming.
But what?
And we're always excited about new merchandise, especially, take that back. We're excited about good new merchandise coming that is not overly tacky and gaudy and hideous. And one of the things that's coming that I am the most excited about, and you all can share things you're excited about, but there is more Little Orange Bird merchandise coming to the parks. If you're unfamiliar with the Little Orange Bird, he made his appearance back in Adventureland at the Sunshine Terrace in the 1970s as a partnership between the Florida Citrus Commission and Walt Disney World. And he actually was their mascot officially as well. You could see him around Florida. In fact, a lot of people, memories I've seen people have of coming to Walt Disney World, they'd be driving down I-95 or whatever, and they knew they were getting close when they'd start seeing the Orange Bird on billboards for orange juice and those kind of things.
That's cool.
So then it was fun to connect that to the park. So he has a place in a lot of people's heart. I just love him because he's retro and he's just kind of a charming little character. Well, back in, he went away in the 1987 when that
in
tie
the 1987s.
Was I was going to say in 1980s, but I knew the date specifically. So in 1987, he went away when the Florida Citrus Commission broke ties with Walt Disney World. And he reappeared in Tokyo in 2004, and he has reappeared in the Magic Kingdom in 2012. And you can still see, and the original Orange Bird, the original little statue, I guess is what it is, or mannequin, I don't know what it is. But it's actually there in the Sunshine Terrace that you can see that was there in the 1970s as well. But he's coming to the park with more merchandise, a plush, which you all know how much I love my plushes, so yes, I'll be getting me a plush. And Orange Bird salt and pepper shakers, so I'll be adding
I know how much you love your pepper.
And t-shirts. You all know how I love clothes, so I'm going to be Orange Birding it out. But Derek, I know you're excited about some new shirts that are coming out.
Yeah, along with that announcement, they showed some t-shirts, and they're really cool. They're not like the typical attraction posters. They're almost like the unsung heroes of the attractions, like the monorail. And there's one for the barbershop on Main Street. And the one I especially love is one for the Dapper Dans. And it's almost like cartoonish Dapper Dans lined up on Main Street. And they have, like you said, a very retro feel, how it's one color. And then the design is just a different color. So it's just a two-color shirt. And I'm really excited about them. I think all of them. There's one for the Carousel of Progress as well. So
yeah. I know someone very, a dear friend that's going to be getting that Carousel of Progress shirt. One of our listeners for her birthday, so you know who you are.
Oh, well, there you go. I thought you were talking about me, and I was about to suggest the other ones I wanted more than that one, but never mind.
No.
Yeah, so good merchandise coming. Good job, Disney. Another something right, so let's keep it going in this direction. All right, another thing I'm excited about is probably, again, this is not something they've officially announced, but more improvements to the My Magic Plus system. Now, this is the Magic Bands and the Fast Pass Plus that's been going on for a couple years now. It was in, what's the word? I keep wanting to say training. It was in testing mode for what seemed like forever. And I feel like they're still working out the kinks, but I think they've kind of settled in on what it's supposed to be now. And so I feel like this year is really going to bring some of the advancements that when they started this, they had in mind that one day we'll be able to do this. Like, I know at one time there was a rumor about creating your own dolls and It's a Small World, and then, like, you being able to see your doll as you go by because it links up with your Magic Band. I don't know if that's going to ever happen, but I think stuff like that could happen now that they've kind of perfected the whole My Magic Plus system. And the kinks that have not been worked out, I feel like this is the year where they're going to get worked out.
The coolest thing I saw with the Magic Bands, and this is not that cool, but that'll tell you what I saw. And they didn't do it this year. They did it last year during the Christmas party, but they did not do it this year. And that is during the Once Upon a Christmas Time parade, when Santa Claus would come by. Of course, he's mic'd up, and he's, you know, oh ho ho, Merry Christmas, and then he would be like, Merry Christmas, Derek. Merry
Shut
Christmas,
up.
Matthew. And he would actually say people's names that were crowd. And he didn't do it this year. I was very upset because I had my magic band on.
Yeah.
I was ready for
like holding for a it shout up, out. Like waving it at him.
Is it broken? Is it broken? But he didn't say anybody's name. But again, those kind of things I think are kind of, you know, they're fun.
Exactly, yeah. See, I'm still not totally sold on this whole system, but I have high hopes for 2015. This is the year where I get on board.
I don't really care about any of those things so much as upgrades to the Fast Pass system.
Yeah.
that's what I would be most excited about, namely giving us more per day than three,
yeah.
And maybe giving you a little more flexibility to make new ones after you're done. Because as of right now, when you're done with the, you have to be done with all three, which I think is also stupid, to make new ones. You have to go to one of the few kiosks in each park to make new fast passes, and by then they all stink. You know, you're getting like Indiana Jones or whatever.
But what you mentioned about the Small World, it would be kind of cool, like assuming the projection is done right. You know, I don't want just a big fat screen in the middle of the scene.
Well, that's what's going to happen.
No, I'm thinking about like what we saw at Alice in Wonderland and Disneyland, that kind of projection where it's very seamless mm-hmm. and flawless. If they can bring that kind of technology, and that would be kind of something cool and fun that in your trip leading up to Walt Disney World, you're able to, while you're at home, design your own unique Small World doll, and then it fits into one of the countries, and using your Magic Band technology, it's going to pop up. Again, it needs to be flawless, it needs to be smooth, it doesn't need to be an eyesore. Maybe something that, unless you know it's there, you know, it just blends in very well. So it's not like your whole boat is stuck because one person has their Magic Band on. But, you know, that would be kind of neat to do. And something fun to do at home, especially if you have children, to build up the anticipation of your trip.
Yeah. I mean, even that room at the end that says goodbye, it could be projections that say, like, Aloha, Derek, or, you know, au revoir, Jeremy, or whatever.
Yeah.
Even
it would
like
be
that.
Asama adios, Lakem. Derek, not hola, Derek.
I said aloha.
Oh, aloha. Oh, sorry. I said hola.
Yeah, smarty pants.
Yeah.
I think even beyond just the My Magic Plus system, the whole RFID, which is really what this all is about, radio frequency something something.
ID.
Yeah. I think that holds a lot more promise for interactive elements in the rides, like we talked about a few weeks ago, or even during some of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's also good stuff, too, to kind of throw in there along with the main use of the RFID technology, i.e. My Magic Plus thing.
Do you remember on Full House when he proposes to Vicky and the fireworks?
Of course.
Why don't we have that technology yet where you can write your own messages during the fireworks?
2015. This is the year.
No, that would be horrible. I don't want to see that because people would be like,
every I just day. Came to see wishes.
Hit me, hook me up on Instagram. All these kind of things. Hashtag YOLO.
Because it, no, 2015, not 2011.
Is that what the kids are saying these days?
No, they're saying bad stuff. We can't say on our rated PG podcast.
Yeah.
Another thing that we're excited, I think we're on number 12 now.
Sure.
Number 11.
11.
Somewhere down the line, we are on number 11 here on our things we're most excited about for 2015 at Disney World.
And I love that we're restating the topic every time we list a new one.
It's a cool transition.
We have to remember. Number 11 on our list is Disney Springs as it begins to open in small phases, and that will begin in 2015, namely with the opening of the landing area.
Mm-hmm.
Over time as the various different restaurants open. I tell you what I'm specifically looking forward to the most from the
tell
landing
me.
Is the new Landry's restaurant, the Boathouse, mm-hmm. to be located there at the landing. It's going to be obviously very highly themed, if you know Landry's Rainforest, T-Rex, Yuck and Yeti, that kind of thing. Highly themed, immersive dining experience, nautical themed. And based on some of those posters, if they're going to offer some of the things that they said, like ice cream sodas and things like that, it sounds like the menu would be very eclectic and kind of, I don't know, reminds me of one of those eateries in Nashville. That I ate at the pharmacy. Have you been there?
Of course. Wonderful.
With their kind of handcrafted sodas and things that people are kind of more interested in now, handcrafted things and artisan ice creams and things. And I'm sure there's going to be like a seafood, you know, emphasis on the menu, which I'm all for. But there's also going to be boat tours and the option of dining via boat and all other kinds of things. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, the Morimoto USA or Morimoto Asia, I think they're calling that restaurant.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that one too. But generally, this is kind of the kickoff process for the renovation of downtown Disney as we know it, and a much needed one at that.
Mm-hmm. It's been moving very quickly, so I feel like a lot's going to happen in the next year over at Disney Springs. I'm excited to just kind of walk around.
Yeah, I was there, you know, this past week briefly, and I think that they are adding, I think that what they had done is just built the main cement skeleton of the garage, and they're adding the decorative elements progressively. Yeah. So it actually looked a little easier on the eyes. And looking at the concept art on one of the walls, I noticed that they had labeled on one of the parking garages something about planters, which makes me think they're going to put kind of horizontal planters with greenery and foliage and stuff kind of coming down. So it won't be as, you know, just a plain parking garage as it seems like it is right now.
Hmm. Number 10, we are very excited about the changes happening to the Great Movie Ride coming this year. Now, we just had a show a couple of episodes back all about these changes. Well, and our own armchair imagineering as well. But
I can't wait for those to happen in 2015.
That would be amazing.
Because I know.
If you're unfamiliar with the changes coming, the only thing announced thus far is they're going to be having some new, a new queue, a new film in the queue, new poster. But we can only speculate that that won't be the end.
A new montage at the end.
A new montage as well. And so there's got to be...
You know what would be nice for this ride is an updated score, I think. Maybe they'll do that for the queue and for the ride itself. I know that most of the audio comes from the attractions. I mean, from the actual scenes.
Right.
But I can't... Is there music in the... There is kind of like filler music. Nothing specific, though.
There's Hooray for Hollywood.
No, it is. There. You can find a list. Like the Gone with the Wind score is in there. There's some Wizard of Oz stuff in there.
Ride itself, I guess, like Singing in the Rain, Chim Chim Cheree, and then there's like underscore music during the other scenes, but they could probably update the score on the gangster scene, western scene, alien scene, those kinds of things.
The theme from Gone with the Wind is the best movie score that has ever been produced.
We know you love it.
Oh. My Own True Love is the name of it.
So good.
I played
dun,
it for the camera.
Dun, dun, dun. Boom, 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 boom. Dun, 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 dun.
Yep, I can hear it.
Sound like Jurassic Park.
No.
Da, 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 bum, 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 okay. Bum, bum. Let's this all just hum our favorite scores at once.
This has been named that film score before humming it.
Okay. For those of you who have not turned off the podcast yet, now we're going to move on to our next one.
Yes, which is... Construction in the Hub. I feel like I have all the boring ones, but that's okay. If you've been to Magic Kingdom recently, or if you have not and you've been listening to our podcast, you know that they are redoing the Hub to create more room to walk around, because during parades and fireworks, it can get very congested because there's lots of landscaping, and they're still going to keep a lot of that landscaping, but they're also adding kind of a second ring around the Hub for when those busy times happen, there's more room to walk. I think... Personally, judging from the art concept, I think it's going to be an improvement, and it can be practical, and it's still going to look really good as well. Yeah. So I'm excited. I think they're really moving quickly with it. I think the reason they're moving quickly is because this is the most well-attended park, and they really need to get it done so they can open up the space.
They do need to get it done.
Yeah, so I feel like this is the year they finish it, and it's all going to look neat, and there won't be all those walls everywhere, and I'm excited about it.
It does kind of lose its charm, the Magic Kingdom, in that area, because it is nice to have the little boat dock, but it is absolutely needed, so yeah. I'm willing to sacrifice the charm for the convenience.
Let me tell you about sacrificing charm, and that is when I was herded out of the Magic Kingdom this past week. Granted, it was a busy time, it was the evening, people were getting in and out during fireworks and parade, and I understand that it's crazy. But there is a better way to do this, and that is, as I was coming out of Adventureland, they were doing this when Jessica and I visited a few weeks ago in the evening, but we decided just to go ahead and walk down Main Street proper. This time I said, well, why not? I'm just going to exit out here. It's between Casey's Corner and the Crystal Palace, where the first aid and everything is. They are, like, if you're exiting the park and they're asking you as you're walking out, are you exiting, are you exiting, are you exiting, go this way, go this way. So they're waving their green wands at me, and I actually decided this time to go out the backstage area behind Main Street. And they have not even tried to make it appealing
So it's very clearly a backstage area.
It's like cars parked. Like the cast member cars.
Is it Mickey's car?
No, wait, it's like now, Sue Ann's car that works at the Emporium, and she's out there on her smoke break.
Cheryl? What? No, I saw this today on Twitter. They are doing a little more to dress it up, as far as like putting some planters back there to kind of...
Well, they didn't
planters.
Have
I feel like I'm in the Magic Kingdom all
yeah,
over again.
You know, those cheap planters they use to mask the things at World Showcase that they're not using during off-season, they could have at least put that there. I don't know, some sort of makeshift canopy... But it's like you clearly see the backside of all the Main Street buildings. There are literally people's cars parked there that are working in the stores. Over here is parked some of the Main Street vehicles. I can hear the Jungle Cruise through the trees. And then it's just like, I mean, just for about, you know, 3 minutes as you're walking out, the magic is just completely sucked out. And it's just, you know, the white street lights. You feel like you're in a back alley. You smell trash. I'm just really surprised that they're doing it that way. I guess it just... Necessity.
Let's just be honest. When the crowd is that high anyways, is there really any magic going around? I mean, it's all spread pretty thin.
I don't know. I was mortified. I was like, is this really happening?
The magic is lost when I'm elbow to elbow with the sweaty tourist, the wheelchair's bumping my ankle, the little girl's vomiting and crying, you know.
Yeah, but
lost.
Summer Magic is still playing on the background music, and that makes everything better.
Absolutely.
Ooh, that's right.
Hmm. Anyway, all that to say, this hub, I don't know if I'm exactly excited about it. I have to see how it's going to affect the landscaping and the lagoons and the green areas and stuff. I know they're going to keep some of it, but obviously a lot of it's going. So I think I'm more excited just to have it completed and actually functioning than I am for it to be there, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
Number 8 on my list, and especially personal to me and to us, actually... was the updates to the Caribbean Beach Resort rooms that have been long in need of refurbishment, rehabilitation, just general redoing. I think they tried to do this a few years ago by adding the kind of subtle Nemo characters and the bedspreads and some of the wallpaper. But what you get at the Caribbean Beach now is a really nicely landscaped and themed environment. Very nice, very relaxing atmosphere, the steel drums, all that. When you go into the rooms now, I mean, it's barely elevated from your tropical themed Howard Johnson on the Earl O'Bronson Highway outside. Just, you know, really tacky, too colorful, not nice and clean or sleek at all. It's just kind of just too busy and colorful. So they're redoing that, obviously. And I think it's obviously looking at some of the concept art akin to what has happened already, namely at Coronado Springs, with a much more subdued color palette.
It looks really, really great.
I think they're also upgrading to queen beds, too. Correct?
I think so. And they're making every room be able to hold 5 now.
Oh, but yes.
It almost looks like it went from like a kid-friendly room to a more grown-up room. Like lots of bamboo and woods, and there's like a door that separates the sinks from the room. And I love it, just from the picture I saw.
The Caribbean Beach will always have a special place in my heart, and I know in your all's heart as well, because that was where we stayed our first trip in 2007, and that introduced us and got us addicted to the magic. So, Matt, you were my enabler for that trip. But the Caribbean Beach does get a bad resort. People think it's old and dated.
A bad rap.
It's a bad rep.
What I say?
Rap.
It gets a bad resort.
Bad rap. As being a bad resort, because it was kind of old and David. So, yeah, anything they can do to spruce it up and make it more appealing, I'm all for.
Well, you got to give it a lot of credit. It's beautiful. The grounds are beautiful. It's a nice walk in the morning. It was the first to be built, other than the original, I think. I don't know if it came before. Oh, it came after Polynesian Village. So it was the first after the main three there around the Magic Kingdom to be built.
Hmm.
And it was kind of a venture into that.
If you're looking for a great place to stay that is isolated and quiet, it definitely has that, you know, you're not going to be surrounded by people there.
And I remember there are plenty of pools there. And so we pretty much had that pool to ourselves every night.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I remember
it's
that.
It's got one of my favorite main pools, too, with the little castle
theme
and the cannons.
Very piratey.
That's not true. Remember one night we had drunk granny out there with her family. But other
excuse
than
me,
that,
excuse true. Me. Almost every night. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I still remember drunk granny. Oh, bless.
Oh, I do love the Caribbean Beach, and I'll be happy to be able to go back there knowing the rooms are up to par with the rest of the Disney resorts. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Number 8.
Well, I'm Casey Kasem, and coming in at number 7 on the list is the Trader Sam's Grog Grotto, which is going to be coming to the Polynesian Village Resort in 2015. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Trader Sam's, it's a very popular restaurant and tiki bar out at Disneyland, and a lot of people love it, and so there is a lot of excitement that it is coming out to Florida. Now, we did not get to experience Trader Sam's when we were there in this past fall, but hopefully on our next coming trip, I think we should definitely make some time to Trader Sam's.
I think the reason is because the park closed at 8 every night, and so that's kind of the time we headed over there. And of course, everyone's going to be there at that time of night because the park's just closed. It's a good mm-hmm. time for everybody to get their evening cocktail or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but well, we did walk by it, at least. So.
We did, and it looks nice, and I love the Polynesian feel. Of course, it reminds me of the Tiki Room, so I'm sold.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be, and it's going to be really highly, themed, obviously. We're talking about Disney World stuff here, but themed as in things happening. Mm-hmm. Like the one at Disneyland, at the Disneyland Hotel, I know there's like a ship in a bottle that things happen in. There's like a fake window that has things going on outside. The lighting is, changing.
And, there's also an animatronic tiki or something, and when you order a certain drink...
Oh, I see.
Like he says something or steams or something.
Well, this one in the concept art, there's this big clamshell that's got something going on with it. I think they're going to do something with that, maybe in that realm.
Is this the place that has the same... Remember in Enchanted Tiki Room under new management, the tiki god that burst out?
Yes.
And they had...
Yes. The queen from Adventures in Wonderland.
Yes, that is going to be... Yes, yes!
Yeah. That's it.
Yes, yeah. She's going to be in this. Oh, okay, I'm there. Okay.
Yeah, we're there. It probably won't be her voice, though. It'll probably redo it.
No, that's fine. If I can see that without actually having to sit through under new management, then I'm there.
Well, speaking of Disneyland, the next thing we have on our list is something very big. 2015 is Disneyland's 60th anniversary, which we plan to be there for.
Yes.
As of now, that's our plan. And lots of big things are happening. Earlier, I guess it was last, at the end of 2014, they announced a list of refurbishments that are going to be happening. Today I saw that all of One Land will be closed, which includes a restaurant, Soarin', and there's something else. So they said literally the only thing open right now is restrooms in that land.
Oh.
All of Critter Country is down for refurbishment.
Condor Flats,
yeah. All of Critter Country is down, which means Winnie the Pooh and Splash Mountain. So lots of things are happening. So the thought is they're closing all of these things to reopen in May, so that way when they have the official celebration, everything will be open, everything will be pristine, ready to go for the big celebration. And
that
biggest,
will be amazing.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing all that. But the biggest news for me right now is they also just announced a new nighttime parade is coming for the special 60th. And if you keep up with Disney news, there is a new parade in Hong Kong called Paint the Night. And all the floats are very bright and colorful and neon. And they look really cool, in my opinion.
And the music is awful.
Oh, I have not heard the music. I've only seen the pictures. Yeah. But the thought is, and I think this is not just rumor, like I think there's facts behind this, but the parade coming to Disneyland will be very much like it. Very bright, lit up, so it needs to be dark outside. And I'm looking forward to seeing that as well. So a big year for Disneyland. Happy birthday.
Because Disneyland has not had a nighttime parade since Main Street Electrical left, correct?
Probably so, yeah.
They can have that one back. Yeah, that parade, if it's the same, the floats are cool, and I think there's interactive elements to it. I don't know how or what, but the video. But the music is kind of like Disney meets a rave party.
Oh. What's wrong with that?
If
where's my black light and my body paint? I'm in.
Well, the Kringle Crew. The Kringle Crew have their own float. So.
Oh, no.
Anyways, is that the one, though, the Hong Kong that I'm thinking of that has the giant Cheshire Cat float?
I haven't seen that one. You might be right. Might be I've seen Tokyo. A Tinkerbell one. I've seen a Slinky Dog
Tokyo
one.
Tokyo has a really cool, albeit more traditional, electrical-type parade, but they had, like, all new floats added a few years ago with, like, Monsters, Inc. and all sorts of things.
Oh. I want the Cheshire Cat one to come here. That's fun.
Yeah, the Mad Chatterers, that'd be perfect for us. Ooh. We could be on it. We could be the special
guest. Yes, we are going to be there, the honored guest for the 60th anniversary. Mm-hmm. Breaking here. You heard it here first.
That's what the people want.
No, but if you would like to donate to the Mad Chatterers trip to Disneyland, feel free to send in your contribution.
So we can tell you all about it.
That's right.
Yes. Yes. No amount of cash will be turned away.
Listen, if you supported Downton Abbey Sunday night on PBS, you can support us, too.
That's right.
For the low price of $65, we'll give you a free tote bag.
You're going to want us in your home in 2015, let me tell you.
By the way, we're not hating on Downton Abbey. We love Downton Abbey. But if you can support them, you can support us as well.
Downtown Abbey?
That reminds me of Modern Family.
I was just thinking that. Downtown
they go
Disney.
To Disneyland. No, they go to Disney. He keeps calling it Toontown.
Toontown, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Instead of Toontown. Toontown. Too funny.
Okay. What are we on now? Number six. Who cares? Next on our list.
Five.
Things we're excited about in 2015. Whatever. Number five is the Africa Marketplace currently being added in Africa, obviously, at Disney's Animal Kingdom. As of this week, I was really unclear as to where it was located in Africa. I got some clarity while visiting Animal Kingdom, and I think it's where we all said it was going to be, but this was the first time I saw it, and I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. And that was as you are coming into Africa from Asia, so you're going counterclockwise. It's there on the right. Yeah, there on the right, right beside Tamu Tamu, that little counter service restaurant place where King Louie and Baloo have been meeting before. So it's there, and per our discussion, it will be connecting the entire back portion of Africa as you come out of the safari and the entrance to Rafiki's Planet Watch to that front portion. So there'll be a lot more traffic flow, hopefully, being opened up in Africa, because as of now, it's just a kind of a death trap back there at Safari.
Instead of Africa, it feels like India with all the people walking.
Yeah. wrong continent. Well,
oh, my bad.
This Africa Marketplace is going to feature something I'm most excited about. And I don't know if it's like one or two restaurants or a few, but it's going to have that kind of marketplace, bizarre, almost food truck kind of feel, except it won't be food trucks, but it'll be that kind of African street food, let's say it that way, where there'll be tapas, appetizer type things for you to get.
Yes.
So that's great. And with the park being opened later in the future, being opened at nighttime, I think any part of Animal Kingdom you can add to have that more evening atmosphere with the nighttime and the lights is going to be welcome. So Africa is getting a nice upgrade with this.
Yeah.
But most importantly, where is King Louie and Baloo meeting at now?
Oh, I saw them. You have to always talk about which direction you're going. As you're leaving Africa, heading into Asia, there's like a little sheltered area. I think it used to be seating for one of like the little stops you could get like a little fast food at. They're meeting in there. It's,
okay. That's I mean, where
kind of a makeshift.
Turk used to meet there from time to time.
Sure.
So where's
Turk?
Yeah,
from the Tarzan.
Yeah.
At the bottom of the river.
No.
In Rainforest Hopefully. Cafe. They turned into
with
a character.
Cement shoes tied to his or her or its feet.
No, hey, Louie, you're doing real good. That's what I was thinking of. Anyway.
Was that your Mowgli impression?
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, I like Turk. Turk is fun.
No.
You just like Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, I mean, I like her too, but yeah, Turk is good.
Who likes Rosie O'Donnell?
I used to watch her show every day.
Waka.
Animal Kingdom has been hitting it out of the park recently, I have to say.
Yeah,
like, they haven't made a misstep in a very long time. Yeah. So, this is a good addition. Just the Yeti. But
they've been stepping in the Yeti stuff for 7 years and counting now.
Yeah. Oh, just wait, though. When Frozen 2 comes out, it's going to be Frozen 2 Elsa's African Adventure. And then
What's
we're going to have
reindeer?
A
What's the
nice
reindeer's track. Name?
Sven. Sven's...
Yeah, he'll have his own, like...
There's no H. Sven.
I'm not Norwegian. I don't know.
It's just Sven.
Sven.
Yeah.
who was, remember that was Rose's cousin on Golden Girls that comes to visit and he falls in love with Blanche?
Ben.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Anyway. Good episode. Number four.
Hey, you don't like the Golden Girls. I don't like you.
Aww. Well, this has been another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Number four. We're very excited about new Disney movies coming out in 2015. Woo! Now, there's a bunch of them coming out. Two Pixar films this year. 2014, we had zero Pixar films, which is disappointing for a lot of people. But we get two in 2015.
Poor Tomater didn't get yet another film about him.
Yeah, enough of Tomater. But in 2015, we are getting first coming out. Let me pull up my notes. There they are. June the 19th, Inside Out is coming out, which is looks kind of like, I don't want to use the word experimental, but it looks like a different kind of Disney film or a different kind of Pixar film where all the characters are emotions inside people's bodies. And if you haven't seen the trailer, it looks very comical and very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Then coming out from Pixar in November is The Good Dinosaur. Now, this movie kind of concerns me because if you follow a lot of the Disney movie news and things, this has been a troubled film. As far as I think it's had a couple of different directors by now.
Ooh.
And I know they had a big script rewrite at one point. But the concept is something, at least the original concept, and I believe it's still the same concept, is a world where what if dinosaurs hadn't gone extinct? And what would that world look like? So we'll hold our breath. I have high hopes, but sometimes these troubled movies don't always end up the best. See Black Cauldron, see Emperor's New Groove, which I love, but, you know, it's not, it could have been better, I think. Anyways.
It's funny that Walt Disney Studios doesn't have any movies coming out. Last year they had Big Hero 6, Pixar had none, now Pixar has
any?
Two.
Yeah, none coming out from the animation.
I was going to say about this, and maybe I should have held it till later when we get the Disney movies out too, but I feel like with them not having one this year and these two coming out this year and not being sure about them, looking at both of them, I don't know. Since Brave, and Brave was good, don't get me wrong. Brave was okay. But since then, and of course Cars 2, and even Monsters University, which I enjoy the Monsters
Inc.
world, but Monsters University, I feel like Pixar has somehow lost their way a little bit. And
they're
it's
coasting.
Almost, well, yeah, it's almost like what happens, you know, to Disney every like 10 or so years when they just suck it up for about 10 years and then they start making some really good things and then it's like they're almost swapping. But for a long time there, I think people didn't think that Pixar could do that. But
yeah.
Then, you know, Brave just kind of, it didn't hit the same chord as all their other movies had hit.
Mm-hmm.
To me, at least. I didn't think
I agree.
It hit. And I don't think to date since then any have. I think Disney's almost done better.
I agree,
the Disney anime, Frozen, Tangled, Wreck-It Ralph, they're almost tapping into that Pixar spirit with their films more than Pixar is.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think the good thing to revive it is going to be some original films. So I think that if these two really, you know, my concern is I think Inside Out is going to be more. I identify that film kind of on the same level as Wall-E, at least from the trailer, in that. Mm-hmm. I don't think little kids are going to be going nuts over it, but I think it's going to be a great film.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does make
sure.
sense, yeah.
So that always concerns me because...
Like Ratatouille.
Yes, yeah, like it's a great movie, but little kids are not going to be wanting to watch it over and over and over again on the same level as something like Frozen. And that concerns me because, unfortunately, these kind of movies, they don't always get the love in the parks and in the merchandise and things as the other moneymakers do. So, who knows? Maybe The Good Dinosaur will be on that level. But another film coming out in 2015 that is very intriguing, and I'm looking forward to it. It's kind of a sci-fi...
thriller.
Thriller, there you go. Is Tomorrowland. And maybe you've seen the commercial, the trailer for it. It stars George Clooney.
Please buy Tomorrowland.
The thing that intrigues me the most is I don't really know much about the plot, which I'm kind of okay with and I'm probably going to try and avoid. But I remember back when they were filming this. First off, it's directed by his name just went right out of my head.
Brad Bird.
Brad Bird, thank you so much, who did The Iron Giant, who did The Incredibles, Ratatouille, and Mission Impossible 4, I believe it was.
Ghost Protocol.
Yes. So, you know, he's got a pretty good track record there. But
it's also co-written by Damon Lindelof, who did Lost,
yes,
which I love.
Absolutely. But the thing that intrigues me is they filmed in the Magic Kingdom in Orlando at the Carousel of Progress for this film.
That's
so
true.
That tells me there's – oh, also Tim McGraw is in this film in case you
as well. Now I have to go see this movie.
No, I only remember that because he was there because everybody was Clooney at the Magic Kingdom today. And it was like, no, it's Tim McGraw. Hold your breath there.
He's hitting somebody.
But but I'm intrigued because to me, the only reason they would film at the Carousel of Progress and if it's called Tomorrowland is that maybe it has some kind of 1964 World's Fair tie in there on some level.
I knew they filmed there too, but then after seeing the trailer, I'm like, "How? What is this movie going to be about?"
Yes.
But I'm excited about it nonetheless.
Absolutely.
I'm a Clooney fan.
Yeah. And anywho, so that's coming out. I don't have the date in front of me. I should have wrote that down. I'm sorry.
It's in May.
May 2015.
Yeah.
Another movie that's coming out is the live-action Cinderella, which the trailer was just released a couple weeks ago about that. I will see the movie. I will enjoy the movie. But I'm putting it on the same level as Maleficent, which I went and saw that. And if you just need a couple of 2 hours to just numb your mind and have a nice time and enjoy, then that's a good movie to do it. Is it a movie that, you know, like you ever want to see again? Probably not, but I'll see it. It looks decent.
Here, are they going to be rewriting the story like that too? Is it this kind of same?
No.
From a different perspective?
No, that's what I was going to say. The reason I put it on a different level as Maleficent is the writers and directors have come out and said they've tried to stay as faithful to the Disney version as they could, because when you think Cinderella, one of the first things comes to mind is the Disney story. And so they've kept a lot of that, whereas Maleficent was kind of a spin-off of the original story with the writer's own ideas of what happened, you know? So it kind of changes the story.
There is confusion, and it's like being in there's a lot of confusion. And it's funny when you're listening to people talk at the parks. You know, I was walking down Main Street during Dream Along with Mickey the other day, and Maleficent was there. And I heard when she came out, and, you know, she makes her grand entrance with the flash and everything. One of the parents said, "Uh-oh, there's the bad queen," or something like that. You know, parents don't know what they're talking about. And the kids were trying to explain to their parents how Maleficent's not really bad.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, how postmodern.
One of the greatest, possibly the greatest villain in the Disney vault has been turned into like a
semi-princess. She's a softie. You don't know her real story. It's so,
well, did you see the new Maleficent?
It's packed with worldview consequences.
No, I still haven't.
No,
seen
I haven't.
It.
I have not.
Oh, yeah.
Not really.
It's enjoyable. I mean, it's not bad. It's, again,
I can believe it is.
And Angelina Jolie really is stunning as the character. Like, she does a great. In fact, she probably.
I believe that.
Yeah. Well, but back to Cinderella. The reason we're mentioning all these is because they do come to the parks. Like, Cinderella has already come to the parks in that the golden carriage that's not from the Disney animated movie, but from the new movie, has made an appearance in the parks. And we assume characters from those Pixar films and others will show up in meet and greets and things like that as well. So,
and who is it that's playing the fairy godmother?
Oh,
Lord.
Bellatrix Lestrange.
Helena Bonham Carter,
yeah, and the director
she's fabulous. So go
the director is Gilderoy Lockhart, also known as Kenneth Branagh.
Oh, yes, really?
Who did Thor?
He's got a wide range.
It's always funny to see directors' portfolios.
Very talented. He has a good resume, so I have faith in it. I do.
And the prince is Robb Stark from Game of Thrones, if anybody's seen that, cares. Anyways, and then the final movie that's coming out that we're excited about in 2015, Disney-wise, is the live-action Jungle Book, which stars Bill Murray as Baloo. And if nothing else, I will see this movie just to see Bill Murray as Baloo.
Well, I mean, it's just his voice.
His voice, yes.
Right. Mowgli is the only real character, and the rest will be like stop motion or something. I'm not really sure, but... CGI.
Stop motion.
No, stop motion. CGI.
I was about to get. Then I'm not as excited.
Yeah.
But it's going to be that weird. I bet it's going to be that weird kind of CGI, like Christmas Carol, where they stick stuff to people's faces and stuff.
No.
And it just looks fakey.
I don't think so.
Because I watched
Planet of the Apes.
I watched Polar Express over Christmas break, and I used to like that movie, but that thing does not hold up.
No, I hate that movie.
It don't look right.
Okay, but speaking of movies, one movie that you may have heard of, the past few months or a year is a little film called Frozen.
Ooh, that sounds good. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Well, one thing we're looking forward to in 2015 is maybe a slowdown of all the Frozen craziness. And the reason we're saying this is because of the Frozen attraction that's coming to Epcot. Like, all the Frozen stuff to me that's at the parks that has... I mean, like, every week I feel like there's something else being added to the parks that's Frozen. It all feels very shoddily put together at the last minute. But now that there's something permanent coming, I feel like they're going to start slowing down with the temporary things because now they can say, don't worry, in 2016 we're getting a attraction. I mean, they've already closed the Oaken's Trading Post ice skating rink thing, which is a great sign that maybe all of this is finally starting to plateau a little bit.
I heard all kinds of some holy cane being raised at guest relations over the fact that they were not doing the castle lighting with Anna and Elsa this past week. Now, what they're doing is bringing it back, I think, like next week.
They are.
Like an encore. But this guy was trying to tell this lady, we're not doing it this week. And I don't think I've ever heard so much cursing at a Disney park. It was pretty rough.
Wow.
I thought they were going to have to call security on, but she finally left. But
and that was by Olaf. This.
Yeah. According to her, they... According to her, they had made their trip just for that. That's hard to believe. But
yeah, seriously.
People love this Frozen stuff, so hopefully there won't be too much of a shock factor when stuff's starting to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful for it. Don't get me wrong. Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
No more discussion.
I have nothing else to say.
I don't want to talk about it. We talked Frozen to death, so.
Yeah. Next on our list of things we're excited about at Disney World in 2015... is progress on, and we've kind of hit on this already recently, so we won't spend much time, but progress on Pandora, the world of Avatar at Disney's Animal Kingdom. We talked on a recent episode about some of the things that, I think it was on one of my lists or some kind of thing like that. But as construction and progress continues, you know, you can find on some of the Disney fan sites overhead shots of construction, and that's how all of these...
Yes.
I was going to say, again, www.twitter.com.
Yeah.
Great place for all of these.
Yeah, and you get these updates, and this is when it's great to be a Disney fan, when there's a big project, Disney World fan, Disney Parks fan, when there's a big project like this, and then you start with, like, the hype balloons, and then you have the overhead shots, and the groundbreaking, and all this stuff. It just kind of slowly goes, and it's great. It's fun to think about where we'll be at the end of this year on the Avatar construction. Maybe we won't be just overhead shots. There'll be actually something taking shape, like Everest. When Everest was built, that's when I was kind of coming into my adult Disney fandom. Let's say it that way. And that sounds strange, but you know what
ADF.
I mean. Yeah. That's what I got. And it was exciting to see, you know, the track being laid and the mountain coming together.
Yeah.
And this is going to be on a scale of an expansion that Disney World has never, ever seen before. And so seeing all that happen, and no doubt people will be getting over the wall shots and maybe some nighttime testing shots of things they're doing that you can always see. It'll just be an exciting time. Think like New Fantasyland.
Right.
Times like 500.
I was just
that exciting.
Do you remember a couple of years back when they tested that dragon that flew over the
yes.
Magic Kingdom the one night?
Yeah.
I really hope they do something with that in Pandora, because that was just
that
a
be cool.
one-time thing that really people loved, and it was really cool.
Yeah, I thought about that. I thought maybe they should just break that out every one, like a multiple of them, every
yeah.
once in a while over just that area, and
yeah.
just give it that whole... Now,
because
one thing that's not... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, because in Avatar, there are those flying creatures, if I remember
the
right.
The banshees.
Well, yeah, because when people saw that dragon testing, it was like, oh, they're getting ready for
Avatar
Land. Oh, that's going to be it. And yeah. then when they opened New Fantasyland, they did just one time only. It flew over the sky, breathed fire. Everybody said, that was amazing. And then
yeah.
we never heard from that dragon again.
Now,
like, oh.
if it had Olaf stuck on the back of it, we'd be tired of the dragon by
They'd
now.
They'd do it during the daytime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing I don't know, maybe they'll do this better than it looks like it's going to be, but this expansion is close to the front of the park, where Camp Minnie Mickey used to be and beyond, right behind literally right behind the Rainforest Cafe location at Animal Kingdom. Like, there's a little alley and then this whole expansion. So it's quite visible from the parking lot. And that might be a good thing. Like, when you're approaching, you can see it. But Everest kind of already has a weird backside that you can see when you park at a certain location. And they've kind of tried to paint some village houses on the side. But I don't know. I'm kind of a stickler for Disney hiding their magic until you're inside, and then you kind of get the reveal. Maybe they'll think of a way to do that, but as of right now, it's going to be quite visible from the parking lot.
What if they rethemed Rainforest Cafe and just closed that front entrance and put a back entrance in and just added that to the land? It's like a dining, Avatar dining land. That would be a nice thing.
Avatar Dining Land. That's what they should call it.
Absolutely.
I'd like to make my reservation for Avatar Dining Land, please.
Well, I'm on a whim here. The juices don't always
flow. They already have Drinkwala there at the Animal Kingdom. Why not?
Yeah.
Avatar Dining Land.
Yeah. But lots of exciting things are going to be happening, and I do look forward to those overhead shots. Those are exciting.
And the number one thing that the Mad Chatters are looking forward to the most in the year 2015. Well, the good news is, gentlemen, we don't have to wait much longer, because as we record this, the walls go up tomorrow. As you're listening, the nuts and bolts are already being loosened, and that is, praise the Lord, the hat is coming down at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Woo! It's already being manufactured into pins.
Yes, we speak.
They're moving it over to place on Gertie's head right now.
Yes. Well, again, it sounds kind of goofy and things, but I think it coming down is more than just removing a hat. But it is symbolic of the changing of a park.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think we're excited about. We have a park here that I honestly think all three of us genuinely love, and we genuinely desire to be a great park. And this is just step one in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. The hat just wasn't the best. We just want the best for Hollywood Studios.
That's right.
I want to be able to see that theater as I walk down the street.
Disney's Hollywood Adventure.
Maybe. Maybe so. Yeah. All right. Well, this has been a very exciting list of 15 things where the numbers don't matter, except I do think number one is probably my number one on that list. But we hope you will enjoy the Mad Chatters podcast throughout 2015 as we keep you updated on these exciting things that are happening. And we hope you'll at least come back next week. Thanks for listening. You can find us over at madchatters.net always. And you can also find us on Twitter at @mad_chatters, over at Facebook, Mad Chatters Podcast. Please review us on iTunes. We would love to hear what you think, whether it's good or bad, because that's just how people know about our show, by looking at the reviews. And I think that's it. So happy 2015 to all of you. We will see you next week.
I'm looking forward to one more year with you all. That's number one. That's number one. That's our 16th thing on our 15th year.
Wait, just one more year and then you're done?
No, I'm looking toward one more year.
No, I get you. Be like, actually, in 2016, I'm going to break off of this podcast and start my own.
Start a solo career. Matt's Magic Dining Land.